Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food. Excuse me, let me read that again. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go up to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls unto deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. People of God, the word of the Lord. Now the psalmist encourages us to picture a deer in the dry, dusty desert, a deer that is thirsty, and this parched animal longs for water, even as our parched souls long for God. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Now the deer desperately searches for water since it's needed for her survival. But the deer is not looking for any old water. The deer isn't searching for some stagnant pond. No, the deer is searching for a clear brook, a flowing stream, running water of refreshing liquid. So too for us. We are looking to become spiritually refreshed. The living water is what we really desperately need. Yet many of us come to worship feeling spiritually dry. I'm well aware that many here today are dealing with pain. If it's not physical pain, then it's emotional or even spiritual pain. Our bodies may be physically present in the pews, but our heavy hearts sometimes prevent us from singing the songs. As a deer desires water to meet her physical need, so we desire God to fulfill our spiritual needs. The psalmist has a need, the need to be heard. So he fires off some quick questions in rapid succession to God. 1, 2, 3. When? Where? Why? Actually, there's 9 questions in this psalm if you count them all. 6 whys, 2 wheres, and 1 when, but who's counting? The questions appear to somehow express the depth of agony in his soul. It is a psalm of lament. So he starts with when. After he admits that my soul thirsts for God, for the living God, he asks this question. When can I go and meet with God? He recalls those days in the past when he went up to the house of God with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. But those days are disappearing like a distant memory. Instead of rejoicing with the crowds of worshipers, he's all by himself. He's all alone. Instead of experiencing the presence of God, he's sensing God's absence. He knows for a fact that God is near, but God seems so far away. Have you ever been there? When will God restore me? When will God supply the living water to quench my thirsty soul? When is a question Reverend Eric Titus asked when he was hospitalized. Eric is currently the pastor of Pulteneyville Reformed Church. He's one of my colleagues in ministry. Perhaps you remember him from my installation service. He stood right there and presided over my installation in early March. He was right up front leading the way. Eric is doing well today, but 5 years ago, not so much. In October of 2019, he was rushed to the hospital. He was struggling badly with liver problems. He had cirrhosis of the liver. Ever heard of it? So he checked into the Mount Sinai Hospital in Manhattan. Little did he know that he would not leave that hospital for 8.5 months. 8.5 long months. He wrote his reflections in a book that both Rose and I read recently. If you want to see it, I have it in my office today, but I'm not sure I'll let you borrow it because it's an autographed copy from the author. Anyway, he wrote his reflections in a book called 8 Months at Mount Sinai. We highly recommend it because he's so vulnerable in the book. He shares not only his physical pain, but his emotional pain as well. It's not just about physical health in the hospital, but mental health. And for some of you here today that have been hospitalized for a stretch, you know that it's also a battle of the mind. During Eric's stay at Mount Sinai, he endured not one, but 2 liver transplants. The first one his body rejected, but the second one his body accepted only after a long ordeal. His difficulties were emotional, physical, and spiritual. He called the hospital his house of pain. Of course, it was also a house of healing, but it took so much out of him. He writes in his book that he entered the hospital weighing 150 pounds, and he exited the hospital weighing just 85 pounds. Can you imagine? It took so long. You can hear him ask the when questions. When will I be healthy? When will I end this suffering? When will I get to go home? The suffering psalm writer wanted to reach the end. Meanwhile, he had to listen to the taunts of his enemies. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? And that's the second question we're considering today. Where? And as you can see, it's a giant question that kind of bogs down this person. Where is a great question? Philip Yancey asked the same question in his book, Where? Where is God when it hurts? Have you ever asked that question? When you're dealing with something, when you're hurting, when you're in the hospital, where is God when I am hurting? It's an extremely important question. In fact, it's so important that the psalm writer mentions it not once, but twice. It also appears at the end of the psalm in verse 10. And this is so profound, the way he describes it. He says, my bones suffer mortal agony. Have you ever been in so much pain that it went right into your bones, right into your skeletal structure? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? It's a question asked by the enemy. It's a question asked by the adversary in a mocking way. Where is your God when you need him the most? Where exactly is your helper now? It appears God is just not available in your time of need. Perhaps he's away at the temple in Mount Zion, far away in distant Jerusalem. Does he reside in a place far too distant from your current location? Is his arm too short to save you? Where, exactly where is your God? Eric Titus must have wondered the same thing. He needed healing. He needed help. He wasn't in the desert of the Middle East, but his own wilderness wanderings were just as real. His struggles took place in a hospital called Mount Sinai. Eric's challenge went beyond the physical to the spiritual realm. It went to the depths of his soul. That's why one nurse said she would read the Bible to him every day. And you know what? She went and read him the Bible on her breaks. And sometimes if she was too busy, she went after her shift was over because he needed help reading the Bible. He was in that much pain. Another nurse held him accountable and said, "Did you say your morning prayers? It's important." Could you imagine someone saying that to a pastor, Reverend Eric Titus of Pulteneyville? "Did you remember to say your prayers? It's important." But he was in a house of pain. He was in a lot of agony, and he needed those spiritual reminders. It was so important because he was engaged in a spiritual battle. He especially needed to pray this one line from the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And do you know what his primary temptation was? It was dark. The evil one tempted him to take his own life. He was in that much pain and agony that he was tempted to go to suicide. Where is your God to help you now? Is he far away from you in distant heaven? Just take your life and escape all this pain. In his book, Eric writes, "It's a desperate thing to think about killing oneself." But the enemy was tempting him to consider suicide. However, God's Spirit strengthened him to resist that temptation and gave him a whole lot of reasons to live. The living God preserved his life. By saying no to death, Eric said yes to life. But what about us? Exactly where is God in our time of trouble? Talk about troubles. The psalmist also had his share of troubles, but wasn't afraid to ask the tough questions. And if you know about questions, one of the toughest questions to answer, especially if you're a mom or dad, is why. When you tell your kids something, he often or she often says, "Why? Why? Why?" It's a million-dollar question. It's a tough one. And you can see that person is quite frustrated or disappointed or overwhelmed by all the why questions because they're just so large. Eventually, the psalmist moves away from the when and where to ask the why. Over two-thirds of the questions in this psalm are why questions. And why is a critical question because it gets right down to the bottom of it. Why? Help me understand the purpose of my pain or the reason for my agony. Why? Why do I have to go through this difficulty? In verse 9, the psalmist prays his whys to God. "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? And why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?" The psalm writer wanted God to remember him, moving him way up on the priority list. It's an honest prayer, an authentic prayer, straight from the human heart. I'm going to ask you something. Can we pray this way too? Can we pepper God with all our why questions? Why, O Lord? Why is this happening to me? I really don't need it right now. I've got more than enough on my plate already. So can you? Can you pray your authentic emotions to God? Do you know what? It's okay not to be okay. And it's okay to pray this way. And I'm going to give you two really good reasons. Number one, it's in the Bible. It's in Psalm 42, it's in Psalm 13, it's in Psalm 6, it's in Psalm 22. Over and over again, the psalmist asks these questions, the tough questions, and gives them to the Lord in prayer. And because this is the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God, you can too. Let me give you a second reason. Jesus. When Jesus hung on the cross, he asked the why questions to God the Father. Do you remember one of the why questions he prayed? He said, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt abandoned by God. Jesus felt forsaken by God. And he prayed the why questions to God the Father. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. It's good enough for us. Why have you forsaken me? Pastor Eric must have felt forsaken when he laid in his hospital bed. His struggle was not just physical and spiritual, but also emotional. He went through trauma, hallucinations, delusions, and near-death experiences. Things got really tough during the pandemic. To complicate matters even more, his 8.5 months at Mount Sinai took place when COVID-19 was raging. In the spring of 2020, do you remember where the epicenter of the pandemic was? New York City. In March and April of 2020, that was the heart of the pandemic, was New York City. And you know where Eric was? In a hospital in New York City. And you can probably guess what happened to Eric while he was hospitalized for his liver. And if you guessed COVID, you're exactly right. Somehow, some way, he got COVID. And like many of us who have had COVID, he went into isolation because of it. When Eric tested positive in April of 2020, he was placed away from the other workers and the other patients in the hospital. But while he was all alone, his mind played tricks on him. He didn't understand all the pandemic requirements and the need for solitary confinement. As a result, his thoughts wandered to very dark places. Why didn't my wife come to visit me? Did she leave me for another man? Did my God abandon me too? Why, Lord? Why? Now, all the why questions cascade to a conclusion in verse 11, which is a chorus also found in verse 5. There we find two why direct questions directed to the self. Picture the psalmist looking at himself in the mirror. Let's turn the slide real quick. And the psalmist says to his reflection, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." He's doing what I described to you last week as self-talk. Sometimes we got to talk ourselves up, don't we? Have this little pep talk to ourselves. And he's saying to himself, "Why are you so down in the dumps? Why are you so disturbed within me? Pick yourself up and praise, because I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I can put my hope in God." There's a positive turn in this verse from lament to praise, but notice that it does take time. It just doesn't happen overnight. I will yet praise him. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. It might not even be next week, Sunday in the sanctuary, but there will be a day when God will restore me. And my lips will be able to rejoice. My heart will be able to praise him. That day will come when my thirsty lips will be quenched by the living water. It may take time, but hope in God can take place today. Since our hope is a resurrection hope, we place our hope in Christ, who was raised from death to life on the third day. Now, Eric Titus realizes in his book that he's not Christ, but Lazarus. He was brought back from the dead, but there will be a day when Eric will pass away if Christ doesn't return first. But in the meantime, God has preserved Eric's life. He's been restored by a new liver, skillful surgeons, compassionate nurses, and the God who reached down to heal him. May we too experience restoration. In the meantime, while you wait on the Lord, pray honest prayers to God, giving him all your honest questions. And as your God becomes bigger, your questions will become smaller. For God is the God who extends his ear to hear your prayers. God is the God who reaches down to help you. God is the God in whom we place our hope. He's the one who keeps his promises to us. So may God give patience to each one of us so that we can wait for his healing, physical, emotional, spiritual healing. For without a doubt, he's truly our Savior and our God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people say, Amen. Amen.